So normally you get one preach on a Sunday, and today, being special and being a little bit different, you're actually going to get three preachers from a couple of gentlemen that I absolutely love and respect. I know that these guys this week have spent a huge amount of time preparing three short but punchy little teachings that they want to share with you. So I just pray that your hearts would be open to receive from them, and that we will all learn something. So I just want to pray for these guys before we start. So Father, I just thank you that you would anoint the words that come now, Lord. I pray that you would prepare our hearts to receive with glad tidings that which you've come to share, and that we would not just hear a sermon and go, oh, that was good, and actually I didn't know that Kevin was that good, or Skull could do that, or wow, Eugene was amazing, but that it would penetrate us, that it would be as if God is speaking directly to us, and we would take those words, let them penetrate and sink into our soul, man, and that we could walk out of this place feeling like, hey, I'm equipped, and I'm going to go out and do that. So I pray for your anointing upon these men right now in Jesus' name, and Holy Spirit, would you empower them with the gift of communication and discernment in Jesus' name.
Morning, church. Richard. Okay, so I've got 7 minutes. I'm going to try my best. Stopwatch. Okay, so yeah, I just want to quickly pray just to start the service. Jesus, we just are just so overawed just in this worship, even this last song, to say that, Lord, we want to surrender all. Just ask the congregation to just let that word sink in. What does it mean to surrender all, Lord? It's not just a line, it's just such a deep thing, Lord. And help us, Lord, to identify those things, like Sean said, things that we need to surrender. And yeah, Lord, thank you for your strength. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you lead us into all truth, and that we can't do this life without your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so for those who don't know me, got a beautiful wife that sits in the second row at the back. Wow, in that row. Yeah, Liesl. Isn't she beautiful? And she's got two kids, Alden and Lillian. They are just such a wonderful, got such a wonderful family, blessed with wonderful family. So the topic of today is putting the kingdom first. And it's such a passion of mine, the whole topic of the kingdom. We did it last year in the comps. Each one had a line to talk about the kingdom. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God, and all those lines. And you can really just spend a year on each line of that. I want to talk about what is the kingdom, and how do we do this kingdom thing. So if we can put the first scripture up, Matthew 6, verse 33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So, yeah, I just want to talk about the kingdom. The kingdom, I mean, if we want to put this kingdom first, we need to understand what is the kingdom. I mean, what do we need to put first? And, yeah, I want to talk about two things about the kingdom, what the kingdom means. It is one thing, it is about Jesus' rule and reign. That's what the kingdom is. It's much more than just a church or a people. It's much wider than that. It's about Jesus' rule and reign on the earth while he was on earth. So there's a few points I want to talk about. The first thing, Jesus' rule and reign. And the second thing I'll talk about is just his Holy Spirit presence. Yeah, the kingdom is where the Holy Spirit is. That's what I believe. And we need to be led and follow the Spirit. So on Jesus gave us the ultimate example. I mean, his life. When he came down to earth, he didn't want to establish a throne and wanted people to come and build this mansion or anything like that. I think the Jews were waiting for it. They were waiting for a king to come and rule, but that wasn't what his sole purpose was. He came as a servant, and I think we can all actually learn from that example that. The kingdom is an upside down kingdom. We always think that for us to live this kingdom life, we need to be of some stature, but that's not what God requires. He says, be a servant. The second thing is he had a sacrificial life. He laid his life down for us. And if you think about sacrifice, is what is the things that we sacrifice in our life? I mean, Jesus did the ultimate price. He gave his life so we could have life. But what are the things we want to sacrifice? What is the comfort? I'm sure you mentioned it once. What is the comfort that we have? And are we willing to sacrifice that comfort for the sake of the kingdom? I'm thinking just my own life. I always tell the guys, but I don't have time. I don't have time to spend time with Jesus. And I don't have, it's just so rushed. The life is so rushed. But what are we doing between 4 and 7 in the morning? It's just throw out there. It's a challenge. And yeah, since I've actually done that and just gave some time away, went earlier to bed in order to wake up earlier. It's just something that I've seen in some time that I've sacrificed. And yeah, it's just a challenge. If you can put the second scripture up, Ephesians 5, verse 1 to 2. This talks about another sacrifice. We actually love people the way Jesus loved. And for a lot of people, that is a challenge in itself. If we read what it says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dear loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So what is it that we do? What can we do to give a sacrifice? Sean, you also mentioned something in the prayer. I think it was King Arthur. He said there's no victory without sacrifice. He was talking about victory. And the other thing, and there's no offering. God cannot receive an offering if you don't give a sacrifice. So I just want to challenge guys out there to just in putting the kingdom first, let's try and love our enemies. The fourth thing, if you don't mind putting that first scripture back, Matthew 6:33. It talks about in verse 34, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So I just want to say something about righteousness. Righteousness is very different to, as we saw it in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they had to work for righteousness. There were some laws that they had to fulfill. But here it says about seek righteousness. God actually offers righteousness from the beginning. He makes us right from the start. And I think it's David Pawson said that our salvation is not by righteousness, it's for righteousness. The righteousness is something that we do. And God and Jesus always said a lot about being doers of the word. And he actually challenged us. So if you guys don't mind opening your Bibles in Matthew 5, I'm just going to quote a few scriptures there. I haven't put it on the board. But one of the challenges Jesus gave, and he did it on the Sermon on the Mount. So if you look at Matthew 5, verse 20. Said, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of a scribe and a Pharisee, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And that's such a big challenge if you think about it, because the scribes and the Pharisees, they read day and night through the scripture. They fulfill all the things of the law. But even God, Jesus is challenging us, you must actually exceed that righteousness. And how do we do that? Doing is by doing. That's exactly what we need to do. Righteousness. We need to, and right. What is righteousness? Righteousness is standing right with God. He makes us right from the beginning. So that's what I mentioned there. So the second thing I want to talk about is the kingdom is wherever the Holy Spirit is, and I think that's what Jesus did. He left. And as he spent his last days with. With his disciples, he talked about the kingdom a lot. And he said, there will be one that will come, and it will be the Holy Spirit. And I think also Francis Chan wrote a book on it. It calls it the forgotten God. A lot of the time, we forget about the Holy Spirit, and it is actually empowering us to do this kingdom thing. So two things I want to say about the Holy Spirit. We should be subjected to him. And we actually talked about it in Saul, and Aline mentioned something about it. And I had to go back to the word and see what that word means. To be subjected is more than to be submitted. Subjected means a dependency or being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And I think that's an awesome, awesome way to think about the Holy Spirit. And the other thing I want to say about leadership, qualification to lead people in the kingdom is to be led by the Spirit. There's no other qualification. I mean, I myself, is not capable, but through the Holy Spirit, He leads us and makes us all capable. We can do the last scripture that I've got here, Romans 14. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of drinking, eating and drinking, but of righteousness, we just talked about, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. So yeah, I just want to end off with a dream that I had, and I think it takes everything together. About 2 weeks ago, I had a dream about two people that came into a setting, and it wasn't a church, I can't remember, it's just like a hall. And they were sitting on chairs, and people were coming around, and they were trying to minister to them and give them words of encouragement. But I stood on the outside, and I just saw that that there wasn't any life. And they were trying to encourage them, maybe through their own ideas and things, but there wasn't life in it. And as time went on, there was an old lady that came in from the side, and she came to give a word, and it was just so amazing. She took a It was like a little bowl on a table. And as she wanted to give the word to them, she took this word. It was this piece of bread or paper or something, and she took it out of oil, and the oil was dripping. The word is in the oil. And as she gave the word out to the two persons that were sitting there, in my dream, I even started crying. I actually woke up crying, but it was just a scripture that was delivered to her. And I can't even remember the scripture, but it was just... I think it is that Jesus uses anyone. So it was someone insignificant. If you think about the kingdom of God, he gave it to the outcast people, the people that were hungry for him, the people that were, the people that was really insignificant. He came for them. So I believe that woman is talks about that. So it's anyone, even the outcast. He needs to be doers of the word. The person came out and had the boldness to come out and to deliver the word to the woman that sat there. And we also need to hold a high standard of the word. I think in this day in life, even the church is compromising. Some churches that compromises on the truth of the word, and that we need to just hold on to that truth. And the last thing, we need to deliver this good news, not out of our own strength, but from the strength that the Holy Spirit gave. So yeah, that's one of the thoughts I'd bless you with that word.
Good morning, family. I think I want to start with saying that what Richard said last week about, he mentioned the preparation that the next teacher does when he prepared for the message next door at the children's church is more valuable than sitting here for an hour. And Kevin was saying yes, and Richard said don't say that too loud, Kevin. But preparing this week for a 6 or 7 minute just a message really blessed me. And this word of God is powerful. This is our guide to what we should be doing every day of our life. And we often neglect spending time with God, reading this word, not hearing opinion, not waiting for someone to bless you, but to be blessed by spending time in this word. All the answers are here. And this is not a book where there's a new edition. This book has been here forever. And books, if you look at any cupboard, there's so many books on the shelf, and they become old. You've read them and you don't read them again. But this book we read constantly, we read all the time. So I want to encourage you this morning, or actually all the community leaders this year, to not take it upon yourself to do all the sharing and the teaching, but to really give all the community members opportunity to also share. Not for anyone's benefit, but for our own benefit, to get to know God better as we journey together. And when you've been asked by your leader to share a message, don't say no. Take the opportunity. you can, you have. What do you have in your hand? You've got the Word of God in your hand. And you can use this. God can use you through the Holy Spirit to share amazing word. So, topic was seek the kingdom first. And when I read, when Richard asked us to teach on Matthew 6:33, look, I know that scripture. But studying the scripture this week was powerful, and this could be the sermon that we can continue to talk on whole year. And I would encourage you to go back home this week and really study this, because I was blessed this week with just going deeper into this. Jesus was in the crowds, and he went up to the mountain, and disciples followed him, and he started teaching them on a few topics. He was among the crowd, and they already heard these teachings, but he had to go away. The disciples decided to follow him and to hear again what he was been teaching. And what I see, if I just read this, is he was among the people, and they knew what he stand for, what he was teaching, but they didn't do what he was teaching. So he went away. I'm sure he was praying to God. Disciples followed him. It's a decision that they've made. And the topics that they discussed on that day, or days or weeks, was being the salt and light, the fulfillment of the law, murder, adultery, divorce, oaths, eye for eye, love for enemies. I'm sure that was a long day, love for enemies. Giving to the needy. I think there was even a longer day. Prayer, fasting, treasures in heaven, do not worry, judging others, ask, seek, knock, the narrow and the wide gates, true and false prophets, true and false disciples, the wise and foolish builders. That was the teaching. That's where he went to. Now, this is one of the questions one day when I arrive in heaven is, God, how did you do this? And did they listen, or did they argue with you? Because there's some serious topics here, and the one we're focusing on today is seek first the kingdom. Now, if I imagine being a disciple those days, not having a home, having a fridge, having my garage or whatever, their need was food, shelter, and clothing. And God said, do not worry. Do not worry about this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, Jesus, what are you talking about? And what things will be added? And if I go back to the book of Haggai, that helps us to understand that in the first chapter, God's people were released from captivity, from Persia, when Persia invaded and defeated Babylon. Now, Babylon is a man-made city where man was exalted. And there's a scripture in Genesis where the people said, let's go to Babylon or Babel. That it was Babel first. That's the Hebrew version, and Greek is Babylon. Let's go there and let's build a city that reached the heavens. So all a man-made thing. And they were released from captivity, and a small remnant returned to Jerusalem. And they were instructed and given provision to rebuild the temple that was broken down. Interesting to read also, the temple was built by Solomon, and that was by forced labor. The rebuild of the temple was done by God's people, us. And after they started construction, they did face some opposition. Now, this was after they decided to go to Babylon, left the promised land, did it their way, didn't work out, come back to the promised land, and they faced some opposition. The work stopped for between 16 to 18 years. And in that time, people continued with their lives. They built the houses, created wealth, did the family thing, did all those things, but they've neglected to build God's house. And if we read Haggai, I'm going to ask you just to put that on first. This is what they were busy with. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. It's a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses, while this house remains a ruin. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house, so that I might take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little, nothing. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains in ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. The people were not seeking God first. They were too busy with their own kingdom. You cannot seek the kingdom first if you're too busy building your kingdom, your idols, your priorities. And Jesus set things straight by saying, seek first, build first my church, build my home, and then I will look after you. Now, to seek first the kingdom of God is your salvation, a true relationship with God. That's always your first priority. And nothing comes between your salvation and your relationship. And to protect yourself, that when things come between you and God, that's not an opportunity to consider, but an obstacle to avoid. To seek His righteousness means that the decisions we make, the order of our priorities, and the value we give everything in our life is in agreement and in obedience to God's ways and His instructions. Now, I have had times where that was really difficult, where it's first my priorities and the things I want to achieve before I do, committed to what God wants me to do. And I have given up excuses in the past where I've been asked to do things like, I'm not ready yet. And as I walked into this building a year and a half, 2 years back, after a few months, I was asked, please help. And I had an excuse. And I had to repent of that, because we all need to build this kingdom. We all need to build His house. Now, when we live like this, where the decisions we make, the order of our priorities, and everything we value is in agreement and obedience to God's ways and instructions, then the promise of, and all these things will be added to you, is God's guarantee that He will supply all your needs. And here's the thing where all of us sometimes battle, I think, is the things that we truly need in the time that we need them. We often say, God is quiet. I've been praying for this for 2 years. No, God's saying the things you truly need in the time that you need them. And we have to remember, we are not stronger than God. We cannot give more security than God can give us. We cannot outgive God. I talk about my time, whatever I do. So I want to encourage you this morning to say, put God first. Trust His word. He will be your strength. He will provide for you. And if we do this, God is saying, I'm well pleased with you, good and faithful servant. So I hope that this has encouraged you to seek first the kingdom of God. Thank you.
can't think when I've got my hands full. Yeah. I wonder, I'm going to do something different. Who's got Dart on their phone and YouTube? Just quick by a show of hand, quickly. We haven't got much time here. There's enough. Dart up your phone? Dart on? Okay, enough Dart. I want you to go to YouTube quickly. If you don't mind, let's be different. When you are in the search bar there, type in mine. I just want to give an illustration of what our human default is. Let me just get there quickly too. But don't play it yet. Don't play it yet. Let me just get there quickly. Myself, pause, just a second, pause there, don't go in, all right, go to the one, it's about three from the top, there's the one with the 32 seconds, just click on it, let the ads play first, and for those that want to follow it, I'll play it now, but just pause it, let the ad play first. Why have I got ads? I mean, that's so wrong. All right, okay. Yeah, premium. You need premium. Okay, the one of 32 seconds. Just play it quickly. So what I wanted to illustrate is the human default. Can you hear it?
Nemo.
He was taken off the reef by divers, and this
guy.
They're taking
him.
Hey, say that again. You just said
something
about Nemo. What was it?
Mine.
All right. I'll wait for you guys to finish watching yours. All right. It's just the lighter side. We are like birds, I think, by default. It's all about me, mine. I think that's, we were born with that. And just looking at our three kids, Kim and mine, it's always about me, mine. What's in it for me? Last week, Richard shared on what's in your hand. For those that weren't here, Moses, God asked Moses, what is in your hand? Use what is in your hand. And just out of a practical point of view, I just want to share on a theme, and still in the same line of what it means to put the kingdom of God first, I want to ask also today, we'll just spend some time on the Last Supper. Interesting one. So how does these three things come together? Okay, sorry, hospitality. Three things. The Last Supper, hospitality, and putting the kingdom of God first. How do those three things work together? Let's see. You can put up the first scripture for me, Luke 22, verse 7 to 3. There's three points that I want to point out that happened at the Last Supper. And the first one was some preparation had to happen before. It was the time of the Passover, the unleavened bread, and they had to prep for the meal. So let's just read here. Then came the day of the unleavened bread on which a Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and make preparations for us to eat at the Passover. Where do you want us to prepare for it? They asked. He replied, as you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to a house that he enters. And say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, all furnished, make preparations there. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. Interesting. 2,000 years ago, there wasn't Google. There wasn't these travel or these quick online bookings. So Jesus said that he knew what was going to happen. Imagine being a disciple walking. Jesus is just being Jesus here. Well, let's just trust him. Get there. Everything is as he said it's going to be. So one thing that the disciples did there that stood out for me was they actually asked him. They asked Jesus, where must we prepare? What must we do? He said to them, go and prepare for the Passover. But yet they said, how do you want us to prepare for it? And he told them, okay, bear that in mind. I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. The second one, washing of feet. In those days, it was a hospitality custom. And there's a couple of scriptures here that I want to point out. Where are they? Okay, you can go to John 13, verse 5 first. While I look for my notes. Yay, yes, over-prepared. This is just to look good. Half of it is pointless. Okay. All right, after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. You can go to the other scriptures too, please. Next one. Oh, no, not that one. So please hold. Oh, there you go. Genesis 18, verse 4. I did not give that to you. Just give it to her quickly. Okay, so while she gets it on them, I'll say this. Whenever there's a couple of scriptures in the Bible where hospitality was in place and there was a basin of water where in those days it was a custom of them to wash your feet. They had sandals, so their feet was dirty. And as the people, as the guests would come to the house, they would give them water to clean their feet. And there's a couple of scriptures now that we're going to look at where the guests came to the house and they were given, offered a bowl of water to clean their feet. Now, all of these occasions, it was big moments in the history of the Bible. And you'll see them now. One of them, obviously, was when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. It was just before he was going to get arrested and go through that brutal, brutal time and getting hung on a cross. Thank you. All right, let's just go back. Yeah. Genesis 18, verse 4. Abram and Sarah, they had three visitors. And as the three visitors came there, they let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under its the tree. That was also just before they had their baby, the promise of their baby. Genesis 18, verse 4. That's them. Genesis 19, verse 2, Lot. If you guys remember the story of Lot, that Sodom and Gomorrah, two angels came. My lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning. No, they answered, we will spend the night in the square. So he insisted. They eventually stayed, washed their feet, and then the whole city got wiped out. The third one, Genesis 24, verse 32. So the men went to the house, and the camels were unloaded. Straw and fodder were brought for the camels, and water for him and his men to wash their feet. This was Isaac and Rebekah, the promise of a wife for Isaac. Hospitality was in place. And then, okay, you don't have to share the Genesis 43, verse 24 one. That was Joseph's family once again. Before a big moment, there was hospitality practice. And I want to ask you, are you practicing hospitality? We're going to come back to that point. Third point is keeping it together. You might ask, what are you saying? Yeah. And then Last Supper, I spent a bit of time in Last Supper this week. And I'm going to say it. I'm going to get slaughtered for this, but thank goodness there wasn't any women there. It must have been quite an emotional time. If you look at the whole supper, the few things that happened there, there was talk of betrayal. There was talk of denial. First of all, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Imagine the confusion. Here's my rabbi. Here's my leader washing my feet. So, this is like overwhelming. I've never had this experience. And then at some stage, they were also talking about, well, who's the best and who's the most important in the kingdom, or who's the most important here. I mean, my rabbi just washed my feet. And then Jesus says, one of you are going to betray me. Imagine the emotions, what must have gone through their minds. Jesus saw what was going on, and he brought it back together. John 13, verse 34, he says, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This was a tight group. And I think in the Last Supper, with the confusion, with the Jesus is talking about something's going to happen. What's going to happen when Jesus is not here? So many emotions and things going through. The unity all of a sudden in a group must have been like torn. I mean, Jesus is talking about someone that's going to betray us. Who could it be? Was it, you know, Peter actually nudged John and just asked Jesus, who's it going to be? And Jesus brought it back together. He said, love one another. She brought back in unity in a group. Why I'm sharing this is quite often we have people over for supper. Some are saved, some are not saved. And I'm sure all of us have got unsaved friends. All of us, sometimes a bri or a social can get out of hand. And I feel there's a mandate as us, as leaders, not only leaders in the church, but leaders of the household, like a Bruce, like a Umkert, like a Yaku, like a Dani, where we have to sort of, not control, but you're the house, you're the ruler of the house, you're the leader of the house, keep it together. If you see something is going on, bring it back together. Why? Because there's a mandate on me. We need to, by our lives, actually show that we are disciples of Jesus. I know it's gone very serious very quickly. The reason why I'm sharing this today is just a bit of a testimony. Kim and I, for years, we've been serving in a church, and there was always asked, what is your calling? Kevin, what is your calling? And for years, I didn't know what is my calling. And since we've joined this church here, where we started stretching ourselves and actually having people over for supper or over for dinner, things started changing, because not everyone gets an opportunity to stand here on a stage and preach. Thank goodness it's not me every week, because there wouldn't be anyone in the church. But the point that I'm trying to make is to have a meal with someone, like, that's something we can all do. Some might have an excuse, yeah, but I'm single. I don't have the space to do it in. There's means and ways to do it. So, just to bring it back into seeking God or putting God's kingdom first, I've mentioned 3 points. It takes preparing. Are you trusting God? Are you asking Jesus to show you, who can I invite over for supper? Doesn't have to cost a lot of money. Not once did they talk about what meal they had. It was probably a traditional meal, but that's insignificant. Once again, thank goodness, because I'm not a good cook. My wife is the best cook. Where is she? She's not even here. But doesn't matter. It's not about the meal. It's about the time that you're spending with the people. Number two, are you being hospitable? Are you hosting? Are you actually doing this? And then number three, are you keeping it together? Does that make sense? So the challenge is out there for you guys, for myself. I'm preaching to myself here today, is to invite people over. It's something small that we can do. And it's not adding on to the pile. It's just something practical for us. All right, so I'm going to cut it there. Sean, are you going to pull it, get it together?
Isn't it wonderful to see that these guys actually, they lived out what they taught this week. They sought his kingdom for each of you and for us, and spent time, and I'm sure for not all these guys, they're natural speakers and are feeling comfortable in front of a microphone in front of all you people. But they truly modeled it out. And I mean, I made a couple of notes here for me, and it's so weird because in the first quiet time I had with the Lord this year, this is exactly the scripture he gave me for the year. So how do we put God's kingdom first? We need a sacrifice. Number one, we need a sacrifice. Number two, we need the Holy Spirit. It's not necessarily something we're going to do in our own strength. Number three, we seek his kingdom first by not only hearing but doing. We build God's house and he'll build ours. You know, I can tell you what you said was absolutely true. I built a house with my wife last year, and let me tell you something. Quiet time, worship time, prayer time was very, very difficult to come by. In fact, I saw a side of myself last year that thank goodness for God's grace and his mercy that he forgives us our sins. We need to build God's house. The example that you used, Kevin, about the disciples following Jesus' words, going in and finding the man, and then they get there and the upper room is completely prepared and furnished for them. When we follow God's instruction, he provides full preparation for us. We need to practice hospitality, having people in your home, not just for the sake of doing it, but because when people are come together, how many times do you not have an ad hoc dinner with someone and you just for an hour, you're just speaking about the glory of God and all the things that he's done in your life. Testimonies start flowing. We get opportunities to worship, and it's amazing. And we feel like we fall more in love with Jesus because we've spent time with his children. And then keeping it together. I love that. Men, it's our responsibility to ensure that our households are seeking God first. If it doesn't start with us, we can't expect our wives to drive that behavior. We can't expect our kids to drive that behavior. So there's a mandate, there's a challenge that Kevin has given to us as men to do that. So I pray that today we'd be hearers and doers, not just hearers. And that as we go forth from this place, that we would truly say, Lord, what area of my life am I not seeking you first in? And how can I grow in that area? And how do I be accountable with that? For me, I'll be honest, like to sit and spend time in the Word is quite difficult for me. You know, reading is not my natural skill set, and I'll typically find myself struggling with that. But I can be accountable with it. My wife will keep me accountable, and she'll keep me going and go, hey, what's happening? And that way we grow. And then all of a sudden, something that was difficult becomes a bit easier. So that's a challenge we have today, and I hope that we'll truly go forth from this place and take ownership of that and say, yes, we want to do that. I want to thank you for your patience. Probably gone a little bit longer than we usually do. But, you know, guys have come here prepared and they've wanted to share something of their heart with you. And I trust that you guys have received it well. So I think I'm just going to pray for us.